bien. A mí no me importa quién. Un consejo que lo piensen bien. Ten cuidado que yo vengo a 100. Prepárate, yo no juego, juego. Lo único que tengo es mi palabra y los dos huevos. So respeten el movimiento. Oye, y deja el invento. Venco, mira, bravo, lo siento. Pero la verdad es que no pueden con esto. Y si tú crees que lo tienen bien puesto, entonces ponte apuesto. Dale. Is, who the fuck wanna fight now? When you ride by the blocks and open lock, all they scream is yeah, yeah. Este cubanito no Willy Chirino, pero ya él, yeah, yeah. It's my time, my time, my turn, my turn, my grind, my grind. If you think it's a game, play with it, right?
You think you're gangster, cause you did time. Well, listen, you're gangster, don't cross the line.
Thank you. like worship. Worship's very good. Get your worship on. Because it's good for your soul.
Oh, Promise we're not mean. And the cry goes out. coming for blood.
You can try and take us, but we're the gladiators. Everyone a ranger, but secretly the savior. Slowly and gore go hand in hand. That's why we're making headlines. You can try and take us, but victory's contagious.
Kid in every way but one. God knows we like archaic kinds of fun. Chance is the only game I play with, baby. We let our battles choose us,
and the cry goes out.
They lose their minds for us and how it plays out. And now we're in the ring and we're coming for blood.
You can try and take us, the gladiators, everyone a ranger, but secretly the savior. Glory and gore go hand in hand. That's why we're making headlines. You could try and take us, but victory's contagious.
No one around here is good at keeping their eyes closed. Starting to light up from a broken heart. Tired little laughs, gold light promises. We'll always win at this. I don't ever think about death. It's alright if you do, it's fine. We gladiate, but I guess we're really fighting ourselves. Roughing up our minds so we're ready when the kill time comes. Wide awake in bed, words in my brain. Secretly you love this, do you even wanna go free? Let me in the ring, I'll show you what that big word means.
You can try and take us,
trying to go, but victory's contagious.
Because it's not copyrighted. It's not copyrighted for Ustream. Well, it might be later, I don't know. You never know, eh? Just kidding. Not with me around! Not with me around. For I will never leave you nor forsake you, ever. Is that good? Who's happy? Are you all happy today? I'm happy. We had a good day. Went to a birthday party with my neighbours. Yep. That's it. That's all that happened. How's everyone's week been? Good? Everybody learn anything this week? Everybody learn anything this week? I should probably finish that English degree. To get my speaking better, because it's terrible. Oh my god. Open up your Bibles. Has everyone got a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you my friend's address and you could message him and he'll send you one. I'm just kidding. Oh god, what is happening? We've got the Jesus anointing today. Because there is no other one. It's just him. Yep, everyone's chasing mantles. Everyone wants everybody else's mantle. I mean, that's idolatry. Can we go and get this one's mantle and this one's mantle? How about you just get Jesus? The mantle of Jesus. And then you get all the mantles and sit on top of them all and watch them all chase everyone's mantle. And totally miss the Lord. Didn't know he was real after all. But now maybe he is. Maybe he does use people like me and you, right? Just to do what he wants. But certainly not to be chasing after everybody else's mantle. And just chase after him. Alright. Oh, I didn't know that was there. I just seen the title of something I didn't realise. The Cost of Discipleship, it's it. And I read an article on that. But you don't want to hear that because that's boring. And Jesus said to him, can you hear me right? I don't have anyone to give me any feedback. You know what I mean? It's terrible. Just like totally left on my own to wing it and to learn by the anointing. Nobody will help you around here. Trust me. Forget about it. You think you're going to get help from anyone? You're mistaken, okay? Anytime you want help, you're going to get less of it. So don't even go there. Just learn. Listen to the anointing, listen to God himself, and he will teach you all things that you need to know. Don't even let on that you need help. That would be worse for you. Okay? You'd be destroyed more. All right. Oops. Just go and do what God tells you to do and you'll be fine. Don't and you won't be fine. So, are we right here? Is this good? What's going on? All right. We should be good. Should be good to go. Sorry about that. All right, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. I'm sitting down because I'm just been not lazy. Little bit lazy, just a little bit. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes. Are we going to do this today or not? Seriously. Does anybody want to know about foxes and holes? And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It says Matthew 8:20. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Who's the Son of Man? Who is the Son of all humanity? Anyone? Jesus. And you? Holy Spirit, wow. Probably not going to get much done. Son of Man, where's he going to lay his head? Listen, you got the anointing, right? You gotta go and just do something with it. You can't just keep it for yourself. That would be very, very unwise to do that. He's like, the Spirit searches the earth for a vessel. Okay, now this isn't just any spirit, any like deceiving and lying spirit, or any dirty and self-absorbed spirit that's just gonna go and lay anywhere. It doesn't care where it goes. Those ones, I mean, they just want anything. Anybody will do. Just give me anything, as long as I can have a body to use, right? But the Spirit of God needs a body. Your body. And when you give your heart to Jesus, that's what that means. It means, here's my body, take my body. Now I want to be the body of Christ. Get it? So now you're the body of Christ. And so you give your body to Jesus, and the Spirit of God searches for those vessels, right? But not every vessel really wants to give up their body. They war with the flesh. They war with their own desires and their own will. They got their own, their hearts, their minds, and their souls are full of their own stuff, of everything that they've had put into them for how many years. And then the Spirit of God, they come and they give their hearts to Jesus, and they're you know happy with Jesus for a little while. But then when the Spirit of God's like, okay, now it's time to go on to better, you know, more mature teaching. Let's pass the old, the, you know, what's it say in Hebrews 6? I can hear you saying it. I know that you know it off by heart. Doesn't make you better than me just because you know it off by heart and I don't. Okay? We're all learning around here. Don't try and be better than anyone, because you'll be shown very quickly that you're not. Because we're all equal around here, right, brothers and sisters? All laboring in the gospel together. One big happy family. Come on now. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So let us go on to perfection, he's saying. Let us go on now. Okay, so we get Jesus in our bodies. You can't just stay like a little baby. You got to grow up. You got to learn to walk and run and do all those things that we do in God, right? Learn how to carry him and learn how to let him control you and then go where he tells you to go. He'll take you to places you don't want to go. He'll show you things that you didn't even know were available or were there. And it's just being open to his Spirit to allow him to use your body. Like, that's what he wanted and that's what you chose. You wanted that. In reality, people just want a little bit at the start, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, no, I didn't really want to be a disciple. I just wanted to kind of like make sure I wasn't going to go to hell. You know what I mean? I didn't really actually want to be a disciple. I mean, that's a little bit too much. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be a martyr or anything. I don't want to die. I don't want to actually give up my life. I don't want to get all those things out of my heart. Like, I've got a lot of stuff that I've still got to get done around here. You know what I mean? There's people I need to see and things I need to do. I've got all these plans and ambitions and dreams. I haven't fulfilled any of them yet. I've still got a few things that I've got to get done, God. Like, here's my list. And if you're going to fit in within that list, which part did you want to fit in? Can I get 3, 4, and 5 done first and then I'll get back to you? Or it doesn't work that way with God. You've given your body to him. He's your savior. He's your Lord and savior. He's your head, right? He's taken over your body. Unless you want to go back to the demon, unless you want to go back to hell, you want to go back to the world, then go right ahead. But he's saying, I already purchased your body. And you already gave it to me, so now this is the plan. Let me tell you what you're going to do now. And people are like, oh, no, that doesn't line up. Let me just go and check with my pastor. Let me just go and find that in the Word. Let me check if that scripture's there somewhere that I can make sure that it's not what you're saying. I'm going to try and find everything that I can to go against the things that you're telling me to do. Man, I've had people that tried to pull me out the whole way, not intentionally. People aren't like they can only offer their from their own experience and as far as they've gone in discipleship. Not everybody's, you know, this is what it is, the cost of discipleship and what's it going to cost you to actually become a disciple, not just to have a little bit to make sure you don't go to hell. I mean, a lot of Christians think that their blessings are just all the things that God gives them, like the material things, which just shows you that they don't actually know God at all. Like, oh, he gave me $10 off this, or he bought me this, or he gave me this, or he blessed me with this money or that money. God's not about money. Never has been and never will be. He's like, render to Caesar what Caesar's. Give him that, right? My kingdom is not of here. My kingdom's of a different world. My kingdom's not of this world. The wealth of the kingdom is not financial prosperity here on the earth. The wealth of the kingdom is the internal dwelling of the Spirit of God inside of your body, and that'll cost you absolutely everything, because the Spirit of the God comes into your body and nothing of you can be left in it. And we have a lot of stuff, a lot of shit left inside of our bodies that we don't want to give up because we're scared and we're fearful and we think he's not going to take care of us, okay? Sure, money's going to come. Sure, you'll be blessed. Sure, you're going to have benefits of being saved. I mean, you're God on the earth, right? But that's not his priority. That's going to come last. That's not the first thing he gives you. People are sitting there talking about all these blessings they've got, but there's no Spirit of God dwelling inside of their body. They're not drunk on the Spirit. They're not full of God. Their face isn't shining with on their countenance where he comes through, because they're face to face with God. What do you think face to face with God means? It means that your face and his face have become one, right? Because he's coming out through your face. So there's a cost to discipleship. You can't just go and get a Bible degree. You can't just go and, you know, read the word naturally. It's a dead letter that kills unless you have the Spirit of God. And you can see clearly who is reading it with a dead letter and who's preaching it with who's preaching the dead letter. And it's not the way it works. So, the cost of discipleship. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and the birds have air. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He's just looking for people, right? He's looking for people to put his Spirit inside of. And he's saying, and then it goes on, and he says, and then a certain scribe came to him. No, that was before it. Well, we can read it all. When Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. And then a certain scribe came and he said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. A certain scribe is a religious scholar, somebody who studies the word, somebody who they taught the law. And Jesus said to him, oh, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus replied to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. He's like, you can't go back and clean up anything or finish off anything. I mean, once the Spirit of God, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, if you've chosen to let him come through Christ through your body, which is the commandments, isn't it? That's the commandment. The commandment is what? To love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. But it doesn't say that in Matthew. So, anyway. So you need to allow that, right? The commandment is that's what has to be filled. You have to let him train you in love. You can't just know how to love. He is love, right? He is love. How do you learn to love? By him coming into your body, right? And then through your body, he will train you. He will take you to places. He will have you encounter people. He will take you through relationships. He'll take you and teach you. He'll train you in the word. He'll train you through spiritual communication. He'll disciple you. Okay, the Holy Spirit will disciple you through your body. But what happens is people, he comes to people, he's good. I mean, he comes into their bodies and then they're like, no, I don't want to go here. Oh, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to do that. I want to do this.
he can't really be telling me to go there. So I'm going to go here instead, because surely that's what he would expect. I mean, like, there's still... I mean, if he's coming to your body, he's talking in you. He's talking through you, and he's training you and telling you what to do. He might be sending you somewhere where it doesn't even look right. It looks terrible. But he wants you to go there because he's going to teach you something. There's something there that's going to train you in something. And it's going to take you to where you need to go. There's things that you need to learn. You need to learn to love. You need to learn about your heart. You need to learn about your mind. You need to learn about your soul. You need to learn what's in those things, and he will reveal those things, and he will chop them out of you, cut them out of you. He will train you and disciple you. The best disciple, the best teacher is the anointing, right? The Lord. He's the teacher. Teacher, teacher. And he said, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, yeah, but they all say that. They all say that. They're all filled with everything else. He goes, they're all filled. They all say that, but then they don't get filled with me. They get filled with deceptive, lying spirits, and they get filled with, other unclean and perverted teachings. All right, you're taking any type of perverted teaching, any hypocrisy, any. Heretical teaching that's going to go into your spirit that you're feeding off. And I mean, there's preaching out there that's not the gospel. The gospel is going to cut you in half. It's going to destroy your life and remove you from your body and put him inside of your body. That's what the gospel does. That's how you're saved, because he comes into your body and he's the one. He's salvation. He is salvation. That's what his name means. Yeshua HaMashiach, right? He's the Savior. He is called salvation. Now, his salvation is his spirit coming inside of your body. Now, you're saved because you've got salvation inside of you, okay? And you've become one with it. You're now you've given up your soul, your mind, and your heart. Everything has been given over to him, salvation. Now he can come and rest inside of your body. But you can't be filling it with foxes. You can't be filling it with birds. You don't be calling those things back in. Those things are not part of him. They can't live with him. They can't have. So those things warring against salvation. And you're always trying to work out. You're working out your salvation for I don't know how long some people are. Shouldn't take that long. Because why shouldn't it take that long? Because the word of God, it comes in, right? And it splits. It separates the soul and the spirit. It divides it, bone and marrow. And it separates it all out of you. So that shouldn't take that long. I mean, if you're listening to a preacher for 20 years and you're still struggling and you're still trying to get that soul and spirit separated and you're still trying to deal with all this war stuff inside of your body, then you're not hearing from the spirit. The spirit's not coming through and cutting that stuff out. I mean, it's just not working. There's something missing there, which is the spirit. Okay, so people they just haven't allowed all that stuff to be given up in their soul and their mind. But the people that will do that are the people that don't have anything left. But unfortunately, the people that do hit rock bottom start to go back out and they get built up again by other things, right? They're going back into churches that are building them up from the outside, the external. The word's not cutting these people down. They're trying to fix everything with band-aids and counseling and psychology and humanism and other type of whatever stuff that will make them feel better about their circumstances, to be able to deal with it. And if they repeat it over and over again that I am this and I am that and I am this and I am that and I am this and I am that, then they might actually, you know, they believe it for the day. I'm going to get up at, 5 a.m. and I'm going to tell myself how much of a child of God I am, and I'm going to just repeat it and I'm going to rebuke you, Satan, and I'm going to say who I am constantly. But they're doing that for 20 years. I mean, you got to do that at the start. Because where else do you start? You've got to start somewhere, right? But then at the end of the day, you've got to come through that. You've got to go on to the greater you've got to go on to maturity. You've got to go on to actually becoming an empty vessel for the Holy Spirit to use your body. Okay, so the Son of Man has somewhere to lay his head. So then that's how you multiply, right? That's what the fruit is. The fruit is seeing the Son of Man's head rested on your body, coming through your face and actually healing the nations and delivering people and setting people free. That's it. That's the whole point of the gospel. And it will destroy you. It'll cut out of you everything that's not truth. And that's, you want that. You don't want lies in you. You don't want to be deceived. And I mean, and it hurts when you've got stuff like that inside of you. I know, it hurts because you're like, you didn't know it was there in the first place. But that's what God does. He shows you. He brings it to you, to your understanding, right? He shows you. He reveals it to you. And a lot of that stuff's disgusting. You don't want to be looking at that stuff, but you need to look at that stuff. Not forever like a psycho, like a psychologist, you know. No, you just need to show it's revealed and then come out of agreement with it. It just shows what you've come into agreement with, right? That you may have let a bird rest on you, or you may have let a fox come in, right? And it's just cause, and it's what it's done is it's just they've set on top, right? Rather than actually letting just the anointing, letting the Son of Man come through, letting Christ come through you. So it's like shows you what you've come into agreement with. And so that revelation, that revealing, that uncovering just means that you come out of agreement with that stuff and you're not alone. Everyone's been through it. Anybody here that's in the kingdom knows. So don't worry about that. Everybody has had to deal with and walk that way. There's not one person that hasn't had to walk that path. That's the path of righteousness. That's the way, all right? The way of the Lord is a highway of holiness, right? We walk on a highway of holiness, and no unclean thing can come on the highway of holiness. It's a highway of holiness, of purity and of justice and of righteousness for the Lord. And nothing that can hurt you can come up there. Nothing that can lie to you, nothing that can deceive you can walk on there. So that all comes off. And then you walk in holiness and purity and you actually get saved. Not just in your heart because you ask Jesus in there. You get saved in your mind and your soul's actually saved. And now you're actually a vessel full of the Holy Spirit. Not just full of theology, not just full of Bible verses that you've learned over and over by reading them just from here and not actually getting a deeper understanding of what the Word of God actually means in all reality. Okay, because there's a whole lot more to it that you can't learn without the Holy Spirit in you. And I know that they say, you know, come, we've got the Holy Spirit since we were born again and da-da-da. And that's true, the Holy Spirit is in there, but you need to grow that up. That needs to be grown up by actually eating and drinking the bread and the wine, getting the Spirit with the bread. If they're not feeding you the Spirit with the bread, you'll know because you've had no transformation and you've got all types of problems going on in your life, okay? So God actually provides the truth, which is Spirit and bread, wine and Spirit, and it comes together, and it does. It dissects you. It cleans you out so He can fully come in and take over your whole body. And it has to be done. Otherwise, there's no other way that you can actually have Him in fullness and have salvation. Salvation is Him completely owning your body. What happens is people ask God into their lives, ask Jesus into their heart, and they don't do anything with it. They just kind of like sit around like, oh, well, this is pretty boring. Like, you know, what do we do now? Go to church. So then you go to church and they go into church and what's there? Nothing. There's no transformation happening. They're filling you with all these distractions on the outside to try to keep you satisfied, to feed your soul. And it feeds your soul because your soul hasn't been renewed. So your soul, your mind hasn't been renewed. Your soul hasn't been transformed. So the stuff that they feed you from the outside is actually feels like it's feeding you for a moment, for the day, because that's what's in you. But what they're feeding you should get what's in you out of you. And that's what's not happening. And that's the difference. That's the gospel. The gospel comes in and it takes out what's not salvation and it puts salvation inside of you instead. And then you're saved in your whole body. Mind, will, and emotions, everything is saved. You actually know in all reality, in actual fact, your identity that comes through your being. You're not shaken. You're not fearful of hell. You're not fearful you're going to be deceived. You're not fearful of little things that are on the outside. You're not scared of seeing a movie or seeing a person speak about something. You're not scared of anything going on like that because that stuff can't feed what's inside of you. Do you understand what I mean? The only thing that can affect you from the outside if it's already inside of you. If it's inside of you and it's on the out and there's stuff on the outside and it's actually taking root inside of you, then there's stuff inside of you that's allowed that. Okay, Jesus is not going to feed on any of that stuff on the outside. So it makes no difference to Him. He's like, I'm not of that world anyway. It makes no difference. He walks. That stuff takes no effect. It doesn't take any root inside of Him. He's not fearful of it. he understands that they don't know what they do. They don't understand. They don't, and he doesn't go and try and shut them all down. He walks and the gospel's preached. And when the gospel's preached, everything's sliced and diced, right? And then they can hear the gospel. And then the gospel comes through, and then they get filled if they want it. Okay, so they get slice and dice. That's what the preaching does. It slices and dices and gets everything out of you that's not him. Then you can hear. Faith comes by hearing. Then you hear the word of God. And then from there, that's when you transform, you change. So it's not like you, it's not like inside, it's not anything inside of you. If it's inside of you, then it's already going to affect you from the outside. But if it's not, he doesn't care. The only thing that feeds him is what? The word, right? The anointing, the Father. He eats. So I do the will of my Father. I eat the bread from heaven. That's all I eat. That's all I care about. That's the only thing that's going to affect me. That's what transforms my soul. That's what transforms my mind and renews my mind. Nothing else. So anyway, that's it. That's the truth of it. So the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he's always looking. There's always looking for a vessel, okay? It's any vessel, anyone that's going to say, use me, no matter what. Use me. I don't want my life. Everything's messed up anyway. I don't care about it. I don't want it. The problem is that we've got too many things in our lives that we still want, that are still important to us. And if they're still important with you, how can you be filled with the glory? Okay, he's like, I want an empty vessel or somebody who's going to be prepared to be emptied. So you say, blow my life up, Holy Spirit, empty me out. I don't want nothing of myself. I only want the fullness of you inside of me. So I'm completely, my joy is fulfilled, right? He says, enter the joy, enter the peace, enter the rest, enter the, you know, nothing can affect you when you're fortified like a pillar of light in your Father's house. Nothing can transform, nothing can change you except him. And you've been fortified, right? Inside of him. Nothing can affect your mind. Nothing can hurt you. You're not fearful. You understand. You've got understanding and wisdom. The seven spirits of God from Isaiah 11:1 are fulfilled in your life. Okay? Everything is fulfilled because you've actually allowed him to pull out everything that's not of him. No matter what it is, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. But the problem is, yeah, there's too many things that we still want to hold on to. We want to still do this. And we want to be a doer of our own thing rather than actually give it up. We're fearful. Why? Because we don't think he's going to provide for us. We're not sure 100%. We actually don't really trust him. I mean, it sounds like a good idea and all, but I don't know. You know, and when we live that way with that fear, it just manifests out in our lives constantly. We actually don't trust him to take care of us. And that's what... And that's what stops people from letting those things go, okay? When he reveals those things in your heart, when he reveals those things in your mind, he wants them out. And let him take them out because they're not good for you anyway. And then he's going to take you to places where you need to be trained, where he'll train you. He'll train you how to love. He's like, you got to learn to love. How do you learn to love? Not by reading books on love, not by sitting there and just trying, oh, you know, I'm really going to try to love you today. That doesn't work because it's all from your own head knowledge. Love, he is love. God is love, right? So it's a spirit. Love is an actual spirit. And that spirit comes inside of your body and he will teach you to yield to him. And it's not a love like any other love you've felt before. It's a passionate love that's going to rock your life. And it's going to shake you out and it's going to change everything. It's not just being nicey nice Christian. Let's all be nice to each other. That's fake and it's not going to work because you're really at your end of the day, what's going inside of your mind? I mean, there's kindness and there's gentleness, but there's a fierce and violent love that advances the kingdom. And it's a true, genuine love. And it doesn't look nicey nice preachy Christian. It looks hard and rough sometimes because it's the only way to get through and break through a soul and a mind that's been fortified in the world for so long or in religion or politics, and they think that they're going to get life from those substances or from those institutions, right? So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be broken off. So it is fearful and it comes through harsh sometimes, but sometimes it's the only way to break through the human mind to get them free enough to be able to hear that they are free. Get them free enough to say, you don't have to be scared to let go of these systems and these belief systems that's been drummed into your head all your life, actually come into freedom, which is Christ. That's a fearful thing because you walk alone. Okay, and he says you'll be persecuted for it. They won't love you for it. You're not gonna have 100 following. I mean, he had 12 disciples, not 5,000. People want the platforms, they want the stages and the big church arenas these days, but they actually don't want the anointing. Because when you have the anointing, you're not really invited anywhere anymore because it's not so fun and nice anymore. It's actually real. Right, we're getting down to real maturity, really growing up in the gospel. Who's going to carry it? And it's not about performing, and it's not about trying to get yourself on a platform or a stage or have the best church in the place. It's literally about preaching the gospel, the truth that your life would be destroyed if he comes and lives inside of you, but that is the best thing for you. Do you want it? And then they're like, yeah, man. I'll tell you who says yeah, man, to that. Crazy people that have had enough of life anyway, because life's just crap and it's hard, right? Or a lot of prideful people that want power as well. But, you know, he'll give it to anybody who's willing to have their life sacrificed, which means a total emptying of self. So be very bold and courageous and come into the Spirit of God and allow him to do that to your life, because it's the best thing for you and it will give you the most rewards. Those who don't come in and do it that way will have no rewards in heaven. They'll be in outer darkness. They won't understand the things of the Spirit, and they'll be completely and utterly offended by the things of the Spirit forever. And they will not be able to handle it. Okay, they want an easy, softer way, but there is no easier, softer way. I mean, they put him on a cross and they destroyed his body. Okay, now if that's what he went through, think about what's going to happen to you. This isn't an easy, soft gospel. The gospel is not about that, but it is the most joy and the most peace. And you're just like rolling down the river, peaceful, nothing can affect you because he just makes you happy all the time. It's a constant happiness inside of your spirit. Nothing can shake you, nothing can move you. And your words now transform everything around you. Okay, it's a high calling, it's a high order, but it's from the lowest point. Okay, it's an upside down kingdom and you're on the bottom and you lift everybody else up. You're not up the top and everybody's, you know, worshipping you. It's the other way around. And that's the true gospel. But, you know, anybody that wants it, it's free for anybody. You just let him destroy your life enough and you come in and be very brave and very courageous and very bold and just go for it. Allow yourself to be used that way because he's the best. And everybody wants the anointing. They just don't want to pay the price. But the cost of discipleship will cost you absolutely everything. You can't keep anything of your own. No will, no emotions, no desires, nothing. It's all got to go. The whole lot goes. It all gets put it all on the altar, right? That's what you say. You put it all on the altar. Here, Lord, take me. Put it all on the altar and burn it all. And then anything that's left over is God. Anything that's left over. And you don't want anything that's not God. You just want him anyway, right? You want to be completely filled with him in every area. So there's no more struggle, there's no more warfare, there's no more trying to fight, okay, with the flesh, trying to do your own thing. You've now just submitted and you just go wherever he tells you to go and do whatever he tells you to do. You know, there's no more warfare. It's easier. It's easy. It flows. But you know, the war is out there with, you know, with the Christians that don't want to pay the price, because they look at what you're doing and they're like, hang on a minute. I mean, we know she's got the anointing. We can feel it. We can sense the Spirit on her. But, you know, I mean, she's pretty free. Can we actually do that? Can we actually say that? Is that allowed in Christianity? Is that allowed in religion, right? But they're like doctrines of man, okay? So they all want to follow this systematic approach rather than actually let the Holy Spirit use them individually. He doesn't want everyone coming out of sausage machine at the end the same. He wants everyone different. That's why we're made different and unique, with a unique personality. He wants you to be you. He wants you to be free just to understand him and know his voice, right? My sheep know my voice, he says. My sheep know my voice. They follow me because they know my voice. They don't follow the man. The fear of man is a snare, it says in the Bible, right? You're worried about what people are going to think about you. You're going to worry about what's going to happen or how they're going to perceive you. Then you're under their control and their power, because you have no freedom, because you've allowed yourself to come under somebody else's power. Okay? But did Jesus come under anyone's power? No. He rebuked every one of them, including the religious leaders, including the people that tried to tell him that he's not the Son of God. He's saying, no, I can feel it in my spirit. My Father's told me I am this person. And they're like, we've been studying the scriptures for 50 years, buddy. You're not the Son of God. We can tell because we've studied it and you don't fit the description. And he's like, well, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's upon my life and I've got the Son. I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah and the Christ and I'm the Savior of the world. And they didn't like that. They took him day one to the cliff to kill him, because he said something that they didn't agree with, okay? Now, it's going to happen constantly. If you're actually going to become a vessel of the Holy Spirit, truly right down to the core of your being, then that's what's going to happen to you. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everyone will know the Lord, right? Everyone will see, because the Lord, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? He will exalt you. He does it. So you don't have to prove anything. All you need to do is be full of Him and preach the gospel. And that's it. Do what you're called to do. Don't worry about anybody else's calling. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just be who you are and let Him use your body, and He'll take care of the rest of it. So be very bold, very courageous. I love you guys, and that's it. Till next week. God bless you. Talk to you later, probably through the week, with some more teachings on the podcast. If you don't have my podcast, it's Royal Street Ministries on podomatic.com. And that's about it. And then I've got this. Okay. Love you guys. See you. Bye.